Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode number 534 of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Are you ready for an automotive-themed fish fry this week? My guest is Sandeep Krishnego from Infineon, and we're investigating Infineon's new Semper X1 LPDDR flash memory and how it will enable the next generation of automotive designs. Also this week, I investigate a hidden culprit when it comes to automotive emissions. And it's not coming out of the tailpipe. But first, let's welcome Sandeep to Fish Fry. Hi, Sandeep. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure.
Excellent. Okay, so tell me more about this new category of memory that Infineon just launched.
It's pretty simple, really. What we have today is broken. It's not working, right? There's the transformation that's happening in the automotive industry with the software-defined vehicles and consolidation of the ECUs into zonal architectures to enable this, right? So there's more electronics in cars. There's more safety-critical processing because there's more radars, sensors, cameras. They all have to happen in real time. And at the same time, as these processors are advancing in the technology nodes, 28 nanometer and below, there is no embedded non-volatile memory. So it's going away. It's getting disintegrated. So system architects building these new zonal architectures are needing a transition to depend more on external NOR flash memories. And that's what we have today, which we call as Semper X1, the LPDDR flash. That's the new category. And that's what we're excited to talk to you about.
Excellent. Now, tell me, why is this so innovative for the automotive industry and the memory markets as a whole?
If you think about innovation, you think there are different aspects to it. One, in order to support something that's executing in real time from an external NOR memory, you need extremely high performance. And in order to use that performance, you have a high-speed interface. So we picked a standard LPDDR interface, which is very common. You know, the industry talks about that to a DRAM, but it's not common when you say, it's associated with the flash. So that's why it's the LPDDR flash. So in order to have that high performance, the first thing is to have a high-speed interface. So we standardized using an LPDDR interface for that. The second thing is you want a memory that is extremely fast, that is low latency, can keep up with the speeds of the interface, and is low power. Infineon has a proprietary ECT technology that provides 10 nanoseconds of access. This is all what makes this possible to enable real-time code execution from an external memory.
So, Sandeep, how do you think the industry will adopt this new innovation in the market?
There are two aspects to this, right? I mean, how do we innovate such new solutions? To innovate such new solutions, it's not just sufficient if a memory, you know, comes up with a new interface. The memory has to work with an SoC. So we partnered with an SoC partner who is one of the key players in the automotive industry to enable this high-speed interface. And in that, there are memory IP vendors that have to work to standardize the PHY, the controller, to acknowledge this new memory associated with the flash, but also take this solution towards automotive tier one manufacturer who now puts this into a zonal architecture, into an OEM's car. So if you think about the value chain in an automotive industry, you need an OEM, you need a tier one, a chipset partner, and then you have memory. And to me, all of these things have come together. We've been working with our partners over the last 3 years to categorize the problem statement, the type of solutions that and performance needs that are needed. We have a system today, you know, that we've been sampling and going to production soon with our partners to the next generation cars. Further, beyond this, what we're also doing is we're, you know, as JEDEC members, we're talking with JEDEC, which is an industry body, making a standard associated with this new LPDDR flash memories. And that's how we see the opportunity for the ecosystem to grow by standardizing something in JEDEC.
Okay, so Sandeep, why is this innovation happening now in particular?
Now is always a good time. It's really because you think about what's happening in the automotive industry in general, right? There are two things that, as I alluded earlier, one, you know, there's more demand for vehicle electrification. Electrification has benefits, you know, towards better decarbonization and digitalization, which is core to Infineon's value proposition. There's more electronics in the car. There's more real-time safety decisions that have to be made. And all of this tends to, you know, processors needing to be faster, more real-time. In order to achieve that, and when you go towards advanced nodes, there is no embedded memory inside that is viable for automotive. And hence, the dependence on an external memory to address this challenge is really critical. And so to me, why now is because the whole transition towards software-defined vehicles really enables you to rethink how an architecture of a car needs to be safe, secure, reliable, and clean.
All right. So Sandeep, let's talk more about this LPDDR. Now, it's normally associated with DRAM, right? So why put it on flash? Tell me more about the benefits you're seeing for these kind of applications.
What's getting disintegrated is the flash moving to an external memory. Flash is a non-volatile memory and DRAM is a volatile memory. So what that means is you're able to keep your code, which is in the non-volatile memory, and execute from it fast. This really enables the systems to power up quickly. It gives you an instant on experience. Instead of trying to copy the data from a NOR flash into an internal SRAM or go to an external DRAM. This is key to integrating an LPDDR interface to a flash. The other one, you know, why an LPDDR and how does that solve the problem? You really have to think about what does a customer have? A customer uses a standard octal spy NOR flash memory today, and that's running out of steam, right? That does not meet the requirements, performance requirements, because when you are executing real-time code, you have to pipeline a lot of your addresses. And the way how octal interface work, it's very sequential in nature, as in you have to have a command, an address, and then a data. And that takes time, you know, in the order of 220 nanoseconds every time you get a new 32 bytes of data. Flash is quite different in that way with an LPDDR. You have a split interface between command and address bus. This enables the LPDDR flash, in this case, to enable much faster accesses in the order of 20 nanoseconds to the memory. So you can access 32 bytes of data every 20 nanoseconds. And this is fantastic. This is what really enables performance gain, right? So you get about 8x improvements in bandwidth. You get about 20x improvement in random transaction rate. And all of this comes with the fact that you're not really increasing the power envelope. So you're actually reducing your energy per megabyte by about 8x lower. And that's the key to why an LPDDR flash.
Excellent. All right, Sandeep, it's time for your off-the-cuff question now. Since you haven't been on my show before, you get my standard off-the-cuff. So, Sandeep, if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if it's on the other side of the world, on the other side of your state, what would you have?
My grandmother's chicken curry from a country chicken. I grew up in India in a small town outside of Bangalore. It's a village town, you know, where my grandmother used to make her chicken. I can't explain to you how good it is. You're welcome to come try it, Amelia. And you know, it's something special about the place. You know, the ingredients are locally sourced, you know, right there on the day when you want to make it. Nothing comes close to that.
I love it. That is such a wonderful answer, Sandeep. And yes, India is on my bucket list. So I would love that. Well, Sandeep, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
When I say vehicle emissions, what comes to mind? Probably exhaust fumes, right? Sure, but harmful vehicle emissions aren't limited to just the tailpipe. Researchers from the American Chemical Society have found that the emissions from alcohol in windshield wiper fluid actually account for a larger fraction of real-world vehicle emissions than previous estimates have suggested. And even though exhaust fumes will be significantly reduced with a movement to electric cars, levels of these non-fuel-derived gases won't change that much. Did you know that average carbon dioxide emissions released from cars has dropped by 25% since the early 2000s? But gas is only one part of that equation. An important, often overlooked component of emissions is VOC, or volatile organic compounds. Now, VOC is actually a quite broad classification that includes carbon-based molecules that are easily vaporized. Some VOCs are suspected or proven carcinogens. VOCs in air pollution can also be a concern because they contribute to the formation of ground-level ozone when they react with nitrogen oxides in the air. Some VOCs are released in exhaust, but some come from an entirely different source, products that are used for the care of the car, like windshield wiper fluid. Samuel Cliff and his co-workers from the American Chemical Society heard a rumor that based on manufacturer statistics in the United Kingdom, car care products could be an even greater source of VOC than exhaust. But until now, no solid data had been collected to support this claim. So, they went out to test these claims. And Samuel Cliff and his team decided to measure the amounts of vaporized windshield washer fluid ingredients from cars on a real-world road, and then compare that data to the industry inventory estimates. So how did they test the VOC from vaporized windshield wiper fluid? Well, first, they equipped a van with several different instruments, including a mass spectrometer, and then parked that van near a busy roadway. And then they compared those results with those from a parking spot near a university site that had very little traffic influence. From there, they were able to calculate the average amount of vapor given off by each car per kilometer driven for several key VOC. And what they found was pretty interesting. The measured values did match those UK inventory estimates for aromatic compounds, which are commonly monitored and regulated. But for alcohol, which is a key ingredient in wiper fluid, was way off the charts, completely exceeding the inventory estimates. And it gets worse. Two alcohols in particular, methanol and ethanol, were almost twice the amount of all VOC released in exhaust. So why these two alcohols in particular? Well, these alcohol emissions are included in solvents for car care products, and those solvents aren't necessarily counted in those inventory estimates. And this team concluded that yes, these car care products are a significant, if unexpected, source of pollutants. And these researchers are urging future regulatory policy, especially as drivers transition to electric vehicles, to deal with these pollutants. All right, my fish frying audience, it's time to engineer a new kind of wiper fluid, right? So, if you want even more information about this slightly disturbing study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page and in the YouTube description for this week's episode as well, including a link to the associated research paper called Unreported VOC Emissions from Road Transport, Including from Electric Vehicles. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you would like to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or, heck, you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of June 2nd, 2023, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.